greet you this morning in Jesus' precious name. Truly, God is good and has been good to us, to my wife and I, in this past week. Thank the Lord for a healthy little daughter. And thank you for your prayers. I know you've been praying for us, especially for Glenda, and thank you for that. A couple weeks ago, on Mother's Day, I preached. And I preached on mothers. And as I was studying for that message, another message was on my mind. It would have to do with mothers, but I thought I'll maybe just leave that for another time. And so I preached on mothers the last time. But I thought maybe for today, I guess it could just be a continuation of the message, speaking about our wives, mothers, and especially to us as husbands, and our responsibility to our wife, and meeting the needs of a wife. So husbands meeting the needs of a wife. As we think, look at the Bible, back in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, after God created man, he starts with, you could say, a marriage. He establishes that principle. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's the foundation. God has established marriage, and so it's a foundational thing for a marriage to work. And it's one man, one woman for life. One man and one woman for life. God has established some principles, and we need to follow those principles if we want to have our marriages work. Turn now to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says this way: Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Notice that last phrase there, that your prayers be not hindered. In other words, there might be some things in our relationship with our wives. If it's not in the right, if it's not correct, if our relationship is not right, our prayers may be hindered. Our relationships are going to be hindered. So what might be some things that could come between a husband and wife to hinder their relationship? There was a survey done of ladies in a church. It wasn't a Mennonite church, some things that these ladies experienced in their life between them and their husbands that would hinder them from being heirs together of the grace of life and hindering their prayers. And there's quite a number of things here. We need to remember a strong relationship with God makes for strong marital relationships, which is necessary to build strong homes and churches. You know, our relationship with God is the most important thing, first of all. And then that will carry out through our relationship in marriage and in our homes and churches. You know, I'd like to ask or pose this question to you. Are we living in such a way that our posterity can look back to my life and say, you know, I want what mom and dad had, you know, their marriage. I want a marriage like they had, or grandma and grandpa had, you know, just, I want to live like they did. I want a sweet marriage like they had. So are we living a life or a pattern for our children that they want to look back and follow us in our example of marriage? I had to think of Lloyd and Esther. You've been married for quite a number of years. How many years has it been? I know you had an anniversary just recently. 51 years. 51 years. And as I look at their marriage, you know, I just see a pattern here that, you know, let's live like they did. 51 years. You know, why does this work? Why have they been able to live together in peace and harmony? And I know they're human, and I know that because we're human, sometimes there are difficulties, sometimes there are conflicts. But through it all, why has it worked? It is because God is involved and self is out of the way. And anything, if there's anything else, we're headed for trouble in our marriages. We have to follow God's principles and the foundations that He has established for a marriage to work. So anyway, going on to this list of things that this one church, the survey that was done there, quite a number of things that these ladies wrote in answer to the survey of things that they see as hindrances to their relationships. And maybe you men should write this down because your wife might remember it. So, number one, and I tried to get these written down, the quotes, just pretty much the way they had it. When he disrespecting me in front of others, arguing or disagreeing with me in a mean way in front of our children. Now, I heard the story of this one man who said, this was when he was growing up, or quite a number of years ago. It was before divorce and remarriage was so rampant as it is today. He said that one Sunday after church, they were outside the church building, visiting. A number of the couples were outside, just before they went home. And the one man looked over at his wife and said, "Well, old mare, it's about time to go home." And, he called his wife old mare. And, people standing by kind of chuckled a little bit. But he said he'll never forget the look that went across that poor man's wife's face when he said that. He said just a look of rejection and hurt. This was disrespectful. And later then, that couple ended up getting divorced. But disrespect, when he disrespects me, let's remember that, men. Having fun at someone else's expense is what jesting is. Having fun at someone else's expense, that's not a joke. It's not something we ought to do as Christians. Okay, another one, getting mad at me for things I do unintentionally. And I'm going to go through a lot of these quite rapidly. Number three, when my husband sides with another woman against me, and we can't do that. When my husband lets our parents run our lives, when my husband won't let me decorate the house to suit me. Now, I don't think that's a problem that I have. Doesn't matter. I'm not that particular in things like that. Wherever the furniture is, that's fine. I'll just go sit in it wherever it is. My wife, she can fix it up however she wants. Number six, when he doesn't teach the children to respect me. And this is a very important one. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." We need to teach our children to respect their mother. If they don't respect their mother, what does the Bible say about that? It hurts our wife when we don't teach our children to respect her. Number seven, when we don't communicate. The next one, when he covers his head with a pillow and says, "I'm going to sleep." I hope we never do that. But what about some other times? Maybe just how we respond to our wife, we might be giving her the message, the conversation's over. You might as well be quiet. Number nine, not wanting to deal with problems. How many of us like problems? There's not one of us in here that like problems. But do I have the idea sometimes that, I'm just going to work, going to go to work, and then, I kind of forget about the problems at home, and just involve myself with work and just leave the things at home, the problems at home, just let them go. We can't do that. It really affects our wife. If I don't want to deal with a problem, how much less does my wife want to deal with it? Remember, she's the weaker vessel. Okay, the next one, not wanting to discuss problems. Another one was when my husband does my thinking for me. The next one, thinking I should always say, "Whatever you want, dear." So if you understand what this was a lady writing in, she says that this is a gives us her struggle, thinking, you know, him thinking, I should always say whatever you want. Like her say doesn't mean anything in their marriage. Okay, number 12, when my husband blames me for what's wrong in our marriage, but won't specifically tell me what I'm doing wrong. Number 13, about communication, quote, walking out of the room while I'm still talking. Number 14, road rage with other drivers when I'm in the car with him. This is, you know, physical things, fear that this puts in a woman. Okay, number 15, making major purchases without consulting me. Well, guess what, honey? We just bought a new property. Now, surely we would never do that. But making major purchases without consulting our wife can be dangerous for our marriage. Number 16, very good one. When he sets himself up to fall prey to another woman. And there was various comments like this concerning this. I don't have them all. Number 17, complaining about the meal I spent so much time planning and preparing. When I cook, clean, do laundry, and take care of the children all day, and the first thing he asks when he comes home from work is, what did you do all day? Did you ever do that? They're busy. Our wives are busy. They have a lot to do. Now, we have to realize some women have learned that this is just their husband's way of asking, what was your day like? Not that they mean it in a disrespectful way. Okay, another one. When I do the best I can with my appearance and he doesn't even notice. You know, this probably bothers some women more than others. But we need to give our wives praise and recognition in this area. You know, it's within every normal woman, whether married or unmarried, that likes to feel good about their appearance. Number 20, when he finds one thing that's out of place but doesn't notice the rest is neat and tidy. When he complains about my weight, even if I'm not fat. When he criticizes things I can't help, like getting wrinkles and gray hair. Now, for some, this is can be a real issue, I guess. I've heard the story already of a woman who was married to a man, and he was later ordained to the ministry, and it wasn't in a conservative church that I'm aware of. Sure hope not. But after he was ordained to the ministry, she said, I didn't marry a preacher, and I'm not going to be married to one. She ended up leaving him. You know, God's call, he couldn't help it. God called him, but she decided, you know, I'm not having it. It was, so let's be careful. Things that they can't help, let's not be critical. Another one, showing too little affection or not showing signs of affection. Another one, taking me for granted, thinking I should still know he loves me because he told me so when we got married. When he thinks special things like our anniversary, birthday, Christmas, Valentine's Day, and so forth are just like any other day. Now, I realize for some women this probably varies, but these are real things to some women. They're just real important to some. And we need to be conscientious of how my wife looks at these dates. You know, our wife likes to be sometimes treated like we think she's something special. And it's just a natural feeling of a woman. You know, remember the Bible says her price is far above rubies. Our wife is special. I hope we feel that toward our wife. Number 27, going out for a date at a restaurant and then talking about how tight the finances are makes me feel like I'm not worth the few dollars he spent on me, and it makes me feel guilty having eaten out. Another one, says we can't afford to eat out, but then spends money on golf clubs, fishing tackle, hunting rifles. Number 29, not opening car doors or other doors for me. Next one, creating feelings of worthlessness in me, working only hard enough to get by because of his hobbies and other things he likes to do. When he doesn't want to do things like carry out the trash or fix things. When he does things around the house that benefit himself, but not for me, even after years of waiting, and then I'm not supposed to nag. When he doesn't understand how important it is to me to have a house look nice. Now, some of these others are referring to spirituality. Lack of godliness or spirituality. Not praying or reading the Bible with me, and maybe not doing so on his own. When he reveals that church is not important to him. When we are in church, but he's not interested in the preacher, but keeps looking at his watch. When he doesn't show spiritual insight into decision making. When he wants me to teach and train spiritual things to the children because he's not interested in doing it himself. When he's living a double standard, saying amen at church, but living differently at home. And the last one that I have is when he uses slang or God's name carelessly. So all of these things were specific quotes that that these women in this church wrote in, things that bother them that they see as a hindrance to their relationship, things that the husband is doing or not doing that gives her a struggle. So for the rest of our time now, I want to look at some basic biblical needs that God has built into a woman when he created her. Remember, we're talking about needs of a woman. This is real life needs that a wife has. We need to understand this, and we have a need to fill those needs. Now, before we get started into that too much, I'd like to look at a little bit at the church at Laodicea. But without turning there, can someone tell me what the problem was? What was the problem at the church at Laodicea? Okay. It's not what I was thinking. They were the ones that were lukewarm. But the one that left their first love, that's a good one as well. But why were they lukewarm? Can anyone tell me why they were lukewarm? What part of the reason was, at least? Okay. It's a good thought. Well, the Bible says they were rich and increased with good and said they have need of nothing. You know, think about that a little bit. If I have the idea that I have need of nothing, if I have the idea that I've got it all, you know, I don't need anything. Isn't that going to make us lukewarm? I think so. So this church here, I'm going to turn to it now and read some of the verses in Revelation chapter 3. And starting verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So you'll just stop there. But notice that they were rich and increased with good and said, we have need of nothing. But really, the way God looked at them was that they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. And how much more of a pitiful situation can a person get into than to be poor, wretched, miserable, blind and naked? Is because of their mentality. I don't need anything. So how does this relate to the needs of our wife? Well, let's just remember, our wives have needs, and it's our responsibility to meet those needs with God's help. Just another thought on this thing of lukewarmness. You know, a man or woman who's always right, you know, it's never my fault. He never says I'm sorry. He never says I was wrong. You know, can you forgive me? I believe that a person like that can be a dangerous person. You know why? I believe that stems from the concept that the Laodiceans had. I've got it all. It's never me. It's always someone else. And if I have that attitude, you know, I just don't see myself for who I am. I think many times marriages are on the rocks and end in divorce because of needs in marriage are not being met. And us men are called by God to be leaders. And much of the responsibility of marital relationships, I believe, falls into our hands. And if we don't sense the needs of our wife and see the need of my responsibility as a husband, I think that's evidence of real lukewarmness of love in my marriage. And I want to say right here and right now, Some of the things I'll be talking about, I know in my life, I haven't always been who I should have been. Some of these things I learned the hard way through experience. And I guess it kind of makes me feel a little intimidated to be speaking on this subject this morning, because I know that a lot of you brethren have been married a lot longer than I have. And I know a lot of these things I'll be sharing are not new to you, but maybe we can at least refresh our minds on what some of the needs are of our wives and as we relate to them. Okay, let's turn over now to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at some scriptures there. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I believe one of the keys here is to understand for a marriage to work the way God has designed it, is that we need to be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns, these are things that ought to be in our hearts and minds, you know, singing in our heart. A Spirit-filled person will have evidence of it, and not in jabbering in unknown tongues. Speaking in tongues is in itself is not evidence of being filled with the Spirit. But we have some things here that it lists that are evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Well, you know, a joyful heart, singing, and on down through how we relate in our marriage, how we relate, and all the way down, I believe, even to the children, how the children relate to their parents. You know, are we filled with the Spirit? Is our life giving testimony to that? Now let's read the rest of the chapter here. Continue on in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So the first couple of verses there, 22 through 24, speaks of wives submitting to your own husband. Now, I see something here in this verse for us as husbands. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. So wives need a leader who is godly and spirit filled. Otherwise, how can they submit as unto the Lord? If I as a husband am not what I need to be in my life, how is she to submit as unto the Lord? So that puts a responsibility on me as her wife to be what I need to be, so that she can submit as unto the Lord. And then verse 23, the phrase there, and he is the Savior of the body. That's a little S. I believe that's referring to us as husbands, protector, provider, leader. And our wives need this. Are we her protector? Verse 25, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Was it easy for Christ to give his life for the church? No. In fact, Christ in the garden, he prayed that this cup would pass away from him, that he wouldn't have to drink it. It wasn't easy. But he was willing to go all the way and surrendered himself to the will of his Father. So the point is, our wives need leaders who are surrendered to the Father's will. Am I completely surrendered to the Father's will? So let's remember this verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Christ gave himself completely. Although it was hard, he gave himself completely. And we are to love our wife in the same way. Now, looking at more practical aspects of needs of a wife. Number one, a wife needs a spiritual leader. I think this is the number one need of a wife. You know, she is the weaker vessel, and that's the way God created it. You know, God chose to do it this way. And young men, you know, this is for you too. Even if you're not married, are you equipped to lead? You know, someday the Lord may call you to marriage. Are you equipped to lead? And what is a spiritual leader? You know, women don't need a driver. They need a leader. And they don't need a dictator. A dictator is a self-centered person. A leader is other-centered. A leader is looking out how he can be a blessing and protect and provide for those under his authority. A leader directs and guides for the good of the family, not for the good of himself. And a leader needs vision. You know, where there is no vision, the people perish. He needs to see the big picture. He needs to be considering the future and thinking about how decisions today are going to affect us in the future, how it will affect my wife and my children in the future. Women respond to leadership because God, that's the way God created them. They need a leader and they will respond to leadership. Where are we going with our family? I think it's good to talk about with our wife. You know, what do we want? And young men, get a vision for your life. And make it Christ-centered. Make your vision Christ-centered. If you don't have a vision, you're not prepared to lead. You need to know the Bible and the doctrines of the Bible and how principles of the Bible relate to everyday living. So study your Bible. Get acquainted with it. And know what the Bible says. And ask God for a vision. Another aspect of leadership is responsibility. You know, as a leader, we are responsible for our actions. You know, if my home is not what it ought to be, it's not my wife's fault. I realize there's probably some exceptions to this rule, but as a general rule, if my home is not what it ought to be, I can't blame my wife because she's not the leader. You know, women are responders, not leaders. When home life is not what it ought to be, you know, chaos, hectic, and whatever. You know, I need to look at my own life. And to lead implies you're going somewhere. Not just standing still like a pool of water and becoming stale. But to lead implies you're going somewhere. Lead in finances. You know, you're the one who's called to go out and provide and work. The Bible is clear that a man needs to provide. A leader earns trust. He doesn't demand it. If things are not going well and I don't have the respect as I should, I better check my life. You know, it could easily be I'm trying to demand trust rather than earning it. And speaking of trust, do you know what trust is? What is trust? The kind I'm referring to. Trust, as it relates to home life and a leader, is simply faith in your leadership. You know, our wife and our children's faith in my leadership. Your ability to make sound decisions for you and your wife and your family. You know, men, we have a responsibility to our wives and children. We need to be on the lookout for ungodly and worldly things creeping into our family, whether it be music or books or dress or hairstyles or media or just, you know, the list could go on and on. Am I looking out for my family? Am I a leader? Can they place their trust in me? Remember, trust is faith in your leadership. Trust is earned by humility before the Lord. I appreciate what we heard this morning in devotions on humility. Trust is earned by being a man of prayer, being a man of compassion, by being a man of your word. You know, to make promises to our wife and children and not keep them is going to destroy their trust in us. You know, as quick as anything. Leadership involves taking the initiative. Leadership, anything with two heads just doesn't work. God has designed, you know, Christ is the head of the man. man is the head of the woman. And so the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife. So leadership involves taking the initiative. Leadership in child discipline. It's easy for mothers to become resentful if that's left to them and the dad doesn't do his part. And you know, we just go off to work all day and we come home in the evening. We like to have fun with our children. But discipline issues, you know, if I don't take care of it as a leader, it's going to be hard for my wife. Leadership in teaching young children to pray and teach them when they're young. And then a leader will deal with problems. You know, hard as it may be, it does not work to ignore problems. You know, if problems in the home are not taken care of, it's going to eat away at your wife and your relationship. A woman needs to know and have the confidence that my husband is going to deal with the problem. Maybe sometimes problems arise during the day. Maybe she doesn't know what to do or how to handle it and just puts it on the shelf until her husband comes home in the evening. And then the problems need to be taken care of. They can't just be ignored. They won't get better just on their own. And then another point is a wife needs to be treated as an equal. Now, I want to be careful how I say this. I don't want to say anything that's not scriptural here concerning this. And please correct me if I do. And when I say a wife needs to be treated as an equal, I'm not talking about the world's definition of equal rights and you know, that a woman in the world has the same rights and responsibilities and as a man, because we know that's not according to God's word. For example, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. Does that include the women as well? You know, it means mankind. So men and women are equal in the sight of God as far as value and worth. Now remember, while women are equal in value, they are not the same in position of authority. Man is the head of the wife. The Bible talks about man and woman leaving father and mother and cleaving to one another, becoming one flesh. I see an equalness here. Not the same in position of authority or anything like that. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. It's Proverbs 31, verse 10. This shows clearly the woman is of tremendous value. Her value, you know, we are not better. We are not worth more in value than a woman. We need to understand that. We need to treat our wife like that. You know, if I treat my wife like she's on a lower level of value than I am, my marriage is going to suffer for it. Because God created man in such a way as to need a wife. You know, God created a man. He saw it's not good for man to be alone. God created a wife. We need a wife, you know, to help us along life's way. Now, we need to remember, sometimes when men are not the leaders they need to be, the woman feels pressure to step out of her place and do things that need to be done. And when this happens, it always causes problems. Now, thinking of the word God creating a woman, taking a rib out of man, the word rib in the Hebrew would have the idea of the body. Now, think about what that implies. God took a rib of the body or the other side out of man. Now, what does that imply? Doesn't that imply that all of mankind was within Adam before God took woman out of him? And since God took woman out of man, we're not complete without her? I like to think of it in that way. And that's why marriage is so sacred. So let's never have the idea that our wife doesn't need to be treated as well as myself. You know, here in Ephesians, it talks about loving our wife as ourselves. If I make my wife feel like she's something less than me, I'm hurting myself and her. A wife needs to be loved and cherished. Verse 25 here in Ephesians chapter 5. A wife needs to be loved and cherished. You know, there's no greater cherishing than a woman who feels her husband would die for her. Would I die for my wife? Do I love her that much? You know, if we would die for her, we'll do a lot of other things for her as well. Now, how do you make your wife know that she's loved? Think about that a little bit. How can I make my wife know that she's loved? Well, do I tell her in the evening, you know, just before I drop off to sleep, I love you? Does that show her that I love her? I guess just as a project for you men in this next week or two, be on the lookout for things that you can do that show your wife that you love her. Remember, your wife's probably going to be looking for it now. Think of a typical marriage counseling session where the couple comes into the counselor and they start talking to the counselor, and the woman says, "You know, my husband doesn't love me." And he said, "What do you mean I don't love you? I go to work every day, work from 7 till, don't get home till 6 in the evening, every day. And you say I don't love you? You don't appreciate it? That must mean you don't love me." And she said, "No, you don't love me. You never write me a card. You haven't bought me chocolates for 3 years. And my friend got flowers from her husband. I never get flowers." And the man says, wait a minute. "The truth is, you don't love me either. I've been going to work since we got married. And not once have you said thank you for going to work. Thanks for bringing home the paycheck. Thank you for the food that's in this house. And I'm tired of it. You know, just..." See, the truth is, a scenario like this teaches us that a woman's perception of love is different than a man's. We need to understand that. How a woman perceives love is different than a man's. Now, women, do you know how you can show to your husband that you love him? Show him admiration for what he does for you and your children. Admiration. Let him know that you admire him for who he is and what he does. And for us men, sometimes we just need to do some extra things for our wife. Maybe it doesn't need to be much, but a card, a flower, some things like that can go so far in showing her that we love her. Let's remember that my perception of love and my wife's perception of love is a little different. It's just the way God created us, but we need to understand that and respond and show each other accordingly. Okay, the next point is similar to this one, but a wife needs consideration and attention. You know, a woman thrives on attention. We as men, we need to make our wife feel special. You know, as a girlfriend, when we were seeing our girlfriend, I believe she loved us for the attention we gave to them. But they need it after we get married too. They need attention after we get married. Men need to be kind, gentle, and loving. However, how many of you wives would agree that voice tone and facial expression is what's really important? You know, we can say all kinds of words, but our tone of voice and our facial expressions tells a whole lot more than the actual words that we say. So how about little things like opening doors for her, please and thank yous, and Here's a quote that I found very interesting. I think there's a lot of truth to it. It has been said by someone, quote, "If you treat your wife like a thoroughbred, she won't turn out to be an old nag." So let's remember that. Let's treat her like she's someone special, the way that God created her. Treat her like she does have value, because she does. Be considerate of her. Be considerate of her. Here's an example. Your wife might come home and be all excited. "Guess how much I saved today at Fred Meyer? You know, this was on sale. I had coupons for this, and I saved $15. You know, all excited. And our response might be, "Well, what did you buy?" Well, really? Let's remember, there are areas where our wives think the same about us. How about things that are tax deductible? The saying, I'm sure you've heard it, if you want to get a woman to buy it, you put it on sale. If you want to get a man to buy it, you make it tax deductible. And isn't that exactly how it works? So let's be considerate of our wife in small areas like this. You know, if we men look at our wives spending like we are hunting, the shopping won't bother us nearly as much. Our wives might be happy because they saved $15. At the grocery store, or maybe they got a good deal on something at a yard sale. Well, what do you buy that for? But remember, us men might be happy because we got 100 pounds of meat in the freezer. You know, it only cost $2,000 on this trip, but we got 100 pounds of meat. You know what I mean? The next point is a woman needs, quote, time off as well. And I want to be careful here again. I know the Bible calls a wife's role to be a keeper at home. Be a keeper at home. But how many of us men, I think we all enjoy taking a few days going hunting, or maybe taking a day and going up to the hills snow machining, something like that. How about our wife? Do we give them a break from the daily grind of life? You know, our wives are busy taking care of children, cooking, laundry, and a lot of other things, week after week after week. They're the ones that get up to feed the baby at night. They're the ones that take care of the sick children. You know, they do a lot for us, a lot of things that we take for granted. And sometimes I think it's good for a wife to just have a day of doing something different, something special, relieve them of their responsibilities. You know, maybe you can give them, $50, $75 and say, hey, go to Anchorage for the day. That's enough money to get you there, but you're own after that. Just let them spend a day, maybe with some friends in the church. Let's remember that. They sometimes need a break as well. And a woman needs intimacy in spirit, soul, and body. God created us as humankind, a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And as I think about this, spirit, soul, and body, there's also three types of love as we know it. There's the agape love, which is God's love, the highest form of love. There's philo love, which is companionship, family type of love. And then eros, the physical love. And the agape love is, of course, the highest and most important. And having this agape love is what every couple needs. And I think it's the reason why so many marriages don't last, because they don't have the agape love, that God's love in their home, in their life. They're just built on the last two. A lot of marriages are just built on philo and eros love without the agape love. And we need to remember that philo love is more important to a woman than to a man, more important than the eros love. We as men just need to understand that. We need to make sure that the philo love need in our wife is met, because God has created a woman in this way. You know, be a friend to your wife. Be a special friend to her. Remember, the philo love is a companionship type of love. Make sure you have time to just sit close to her and be her companion and just share with each other the joys and sorrows of life. And just that the companionship type of love is so important to a woman, and she needs that. A wife needs to be able to trust her husband. This is an important one. You know, does she live in fear of her husband being unfaithful to her? You know, Proverbs gives a lot of warning to men of dangers, and we need to be aware of and avoid these dangers. You know, and my desire and prayer is that everyone here would have that godly life, so our wife's heart can safely trust in us. And just for you young men and young women, remember, fornication is sin. Fornication is wrong. Fornication is unfaithfulness to your spouse in advance. Remember that. Fornication is unfaithfulness in advance. So God help us in these things. But remember, a wife needs to be able to trust her husband. It'll do so much for her if she can just trust her husband. And it'll do so much harm if she cannot trust her husband. A wife needs acceptance. God created our wife just the way He wanted. And whether it be large, medium, or small, God created her. Never, never compare your wife unfavorably with another woman. One of the dumbest things that a man can do is say things like, these biscuits just don't taste like mom's used to taste. You know, what does that do to her? She needs acceptance for who she is. Doing things and making statements like that can cut so deeply in the heart of her wife. And it can make her heart bleed, and it may take a long time to heal. So let's accept her for who she is and as she is. Make her feel like she's the most beautiful, most charming, most special woman there ever was. And because God gave you her, she is. Proverbs 19, verse 14. We won't turn to it for the sake of time, but when we start rejecting our wife for who she is, we have probably already been comparing her to someone else, and things are just going to get worse if we don't do something about it. Proverbs 19, verse 14 is a verse that says that a prudent wife is from the Lord. Let's remember that. A prudent wife is from the Lord. If God gave her to us, then she's special to us, and we need to accept her as she is and give her praise and honor where it's due. When we reject our wife for who she is, we are actually rejecting what God gave us. And that's serious business. We reject what God gave us. Finally, the last one, a wife needs our loyalty. She needs to know that if there's a problem between us and our parents or between us and anybody, we're going to stick by her. I'm not talking about a woman who leaves the faith and throws it all behind, but in our homes, in our Christian homes, a wife needs to know that we are going to stick by her through the good and the bad, through prosperity and in adversity. Again, the verse in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, our wife needs to know that I am by her side for life, and I'm going to stick by her even if she makes mistakes and even if she might be sometimes wrong. Remember, I'm sometimes wrong as well. My wife has to put up with me, with my mistakes. So I hope that your marriage can be blessed through what was shared this morning. I know I probably missed a lot of things. There's probably things that you thought of that could be added. But I just want our marriages to be sweet and happy, an example to our young ones of what God intends for a happy marriage. You know, there's no need for lukewarmness in our marriages if we're open and honest with one another. Wish God's blessing upon each one here today. And for you young people, I hope you don't sit there thinking, well, I just wasted my time this morning. He preached on marriage and I'm not married. Remember, someday you might be. And the things that were shared this morning are principles of God's word, things that we need to understand. And I hope you've been blessed as well. And I know in our marriages, it's not always easy. I'm not here to condemn anybody or to make you think that my wife and I have got it all together, because we don't. We're learning, and we are in this. We have learned some things, like I said, through experience the hard way. But I hope each one of us can walk out of these doors today with a desire to make your marriage sweeter than it has ever been. And may your marriage be beneficial and in God's kingdom for one another and for your children. Just wish you the Lord's blessing as you part from this place. Shall we kneel for a word of prayer?